Okay, hi guys.
Hello.
This is my first like proper what's the word? Hot, what's the word? Can't even think. What's the word when you do it online? Virtual.
Virtual.
Virtual. This is my first official virtual interview slash co-host.
This is
I've done
fun.
a few where I like call people and it's super janky and like it doesn't go through, but this I need to like I think I need to invest in a platform like this.
Honestly, I love this. So we do like live streams for like our clients and stuff like that all the time. I'm not gonna lie, there's times that it's like I'll pre-record it and like you can use this to like videos, but it posts like you're doing it live.
Oh,
So
that's nice. Sweet. Well, this is Ashley, everyone. Hello, welcome. Welcome to the 20-somethings podcast family. I've been trying to get her on the podcast for a while, but it was the holidays and it just kind of fell through. But I was like, I had this whole weekend off and I like had the place to myself. I was bored. I'm like, you know what? So I recorded a podcast yesterday. I'm recording one today. I'm trying to be like on top of it, productive in 2024. But the reason I want to have Ashley on is because Ashley is a busy working mom of three, and she's the same age as me, people. She's 27. Are you 27 or did you turn 28?
I turned 28 in March.
Okay, so almost 28. But yeah, she's 27 with three daughters, right?
Yeah,
Yes.
three girls.
Three girls, and she's working. She's an entrepreneur. And so I thought she'd be a perfect person because her experience in her 20s has been literally complete opposite to me in so many ways, and like her priorities have naturally had to shift in so many ways. And of course, I've had so many different people on the podcast, but I've never had like a 20-something mom. And so I want you to offer that perspective and talk about your story and, you know, the benefits of being a young mother, the struggles of being a young mother.
Well, thank you. Honestly, I appreciate you like having me too, because honestly, as a young mom, it's like I feel like there's not a lot of other moms that are like my age. Like even some of my friends, like a lot of my friends don't have kids, or my friends that do have kids are like in their like mid-30s and stuff. So it's like, I don't know, I was winging it for the longest time. So, and now I'm starting to see like more people from like that we went to high school with and stuff that are like starting to have kids, and it's like,
I
okay,
know,
I
but
see
they're
you.
just starting now, whereas you've been doing the damn thing.
Yeah.
How old were you when you had your first daughter?
I had literally just turned 20.
Okay.
So I turned 20 in March and had her in April. So it was,
Okay.
yeah, she was our little surprise. It was
Well,
all.
that's not like crazy young. It's young, but it's not like you were like 16 or something like that. Like, did you feel was your transition into motherhood pretty easy, or did you find it really, really difficult, or how did that go?
Was like I would say it was both, honestly. So like at the time, so my husband, my boyfriend at the time, like we had honestly only been together like 6 months ish, and I was like,
Oh, really?
yeah, we had not been together that long, and I was like, hey, so here's the deal, like
Oh my gosh.
surprise, like
Yeah.
honestly, I'm like, I love you, but like I get if you want out, you want out. I was like, in my soul, I'm going through with this. And he was like, I'm on the same page. Like, we're in this. Like, we're gonna do it. Honestly, growing up, I always knew I always wanted a big family. I always wanted three kids. I was like, that was like my dream. And
Wow.
honestly, just so amazing that I was like, you know what? Like, we are in this. We are in this together. And I was just like,
I'm
let's
sure that must have made it easier knowing he was on the same page as you versus having to like negotiate with someone who doesn't really want the same things. Like, I know some people who've been in that scenario where they kind of have to, they have a surprise pregnancy, but it's also they have to navigate like a breakup or co-parenting on top of that. And I can't imagine how stressful that would be.
it would have been crazy. And it was very much just like we were like, hey, like let's like take a second, like go our separate ways to think about this, and then like come back. And honestly, he's just literally the most supportive human being ever. So I'm like, I dated some other people in the past, and I was like, if there was any surprises, like this was the person to have a surprise with, because
True.
like he can hold his shit together.
The
So
universe has a plan for us all.
like this
And then
was
when did you guys get married then?
so funny. We were supposed to get married a year before we did. So we ended up
Okay.
married in 2020. So we've been
Okay.
married 4 years now. We were
Okay.
to get married the summer of like that COVID happened. We had like a whole big wedding and everything planned here in Sarnia. And last minute, I was like, I actually don't want a big wedding. Like, let's just like pump the brakes, wow, do a destination wedding. And we literally planned a destination wedding. And like, we gave people like 5 or 6 months notice. Like, it was not a lot of notice.
Wow.
So we ended up having our second baby before we got married. Cause I was like, you're stuck with me anyway. Like, we're doing, we are in this for the long haul. So I'm like, why wait? We have one child already. Like, we're in a good place. We had bought our house and everything. So I'm like, I want to have like another baby first.
Okay.
And then we got married after that.
And then your third baby was after you got married?
Yes. Yeah. Then we had our third in 2021. So she will be 3 this year.
And what are all of the names?
So our oldest, Lillian.
Lillian. Okay.
The first. And then Alana is our middle. And Scarlett, okay, the little baby.
Oh, cute. Scarlett's such a, like, a sassy baby name. I feel like she's wild. I don't know her, but that's the vibe I get.
To a T. To a T. She is like, they're all spicy in their own sense. Like,
yeah.
Three very confident little girls, but Scarlett is like, she fucking wrecks shit.
Yeah. That's what we want, though. We want young, confident girls, although they are hard to raise, but like, you'll be grateful that they are this way when they're like teenagers and older and they can like hold their shit together and
nobody is going to like mess with them. Like, they are being raised. Like, nobody is ever good enough for them. Like, they are just so strong-willed and just like, they are so in love with themselves. Like, I'm just here for it.
That's so iconic. Good for you guys for raising them that way. Like, I mean, I really want daughters so bad. I mean, of course I'd be happy with a son, but I've always wanted a daughter for that reason. Oh my gosh, my hair is crazy. So that I could like allow her to just be like this confident queen and like pass on all the lessons I've learned being a woman and like pass it on to my child, and like help her navigate things a little easier than it was for me. Cause it's just like that sisterhood or like.
I get it. So funny enough, I pictured myself having 2 boys and then a girl. That was like my picture perfect thing. And my father-in-law was always like, I don't know if it's just because I was such a child, like such a wild child, that he was like, no, 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 your karma is that you are going to have 3 daughters. Like, he said, like, you are going to have, like, because we didn't find out what we were having for the second and the third. It was surprise. And he's like, nope, you are having 3 girls. Like, it's going to be hell.
Oh my gosh. People say that same thing about me, but I'm like, bring it on. I can handle it. Yeah, but I think it's because I teach young girls, like I teach dance. So I'm just so used to that energy.
Yeah.
But I guess that's like a half an hour or an hour class versus 24 hours a day. I guess it's a different thing, but I kind of love it. It keeps me young. It keeps me alive, that sassy child energy.
It's honestly, I wouldn't change it though. Like, they are so sassy and they are like some of the things that comes out of them, I'm like, dude, you're 5. Like, you need to chill. Like, you're good. We don't need the drama.
But,
yeah. Honestly, just I love seeing how confident they are in themselves. Like, nobody's going to walk all over them. Like, I truly just the way I feel like back in our generation, everybody was like so self-conscious and girls were like put down. And I'm like, we're not doing that here. Like, I'm going to make sure that they're just so obsessed with themselves that. Yeah. Like, nobody else's opinion will ever
face it. And girls would put each other down too so much, I think. Like, there was this sort of jealous energy amongst women of, like, competing with each other. And I hope – I don't think that will be as much of the – I think it'll be more support, sisterhood, lifting each other up. Like, I've even noticed that now with women when they commiserate about dating or something – I mean, my biggest worries are dating. Yours are a lot more serious than mine, but I would be like, you know, I feel like it used to be like you'd talk about a guy and like sometimes the girls would either take the guy's side or they'd be like, oh, well, at least my boyfriend doesn't do that or whatever. And now it's almost like women just immediately like come together and they're like, right, we hate this man. Like, we are not putting up with this. It's like there's no tolerance anymore and women don't enable those toxic behaviors. Like, women, I find, stand up for women a lot more now, if that makes sense, and like protect each other. The Barbie movie solidified that for me. Like, it changed everything. Women literally revolutionized after the Barbie movie.
Right. 100%. Honestly, I loved watching that movie with my kids. They didn't understand half of it.
Did you cry at all, like, as a mother?
Yeah.
I'm like, I feel like I was there with my mom and my sister, who are both moms, and they were bawling during that scene where America Ferrera is like talking about how hard it is to be a mother and be a woman. And I was emotional, but they were like full on crying during that scene.
Honestly, though, I will say, like, I am blessed with my husband because he,
right,
I say this all the time too. I'm like, our daughters are growing up seeing how he treats me, mm-hmm, and like seeing how a man like is there, but also like I do my own thing, but like, mm-hmm, I have partner support, but it's like very, very like mutual respect for each other. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, that, like, their expectations for how a man treats them is like, it's through the roof. Like,
that's amazing. That's so important. Like, truly, there's no better way to learn than through example and just through that exposure. We love that. We love a man who is a real man in that way. It's hard to find. And you just happen to find him so young.
Right. That's why I'm like, I'm going to stick with you. Like, we're going to figure this out. Like, we're good. Yeah.
I love that. I love that.
We started a little bit backwards, but it's like, you know what?
Right.
We'll figure it out as we go.
So did you kind of mentioned it a little bit, like how your friends, like a lot of your friends don't have kids. Was that like a struggle for you in your early 20s? I'm sure now it's a little more relaxed because people are starting to get married and have kids now. And like, so maybe they'll come to you for advice or something. But in the beginning, did you find there was like strain on any of your friendships or like a disconnect with your friends because they were just in a completely different life space from you?
Yeah. And unfortunately, like 100% to a T, some of my like closest friends, it's just, mm-hmm, my priorities. Not even unfortunately, like my priorities have just had to change so much that I'm very meticulous with my time and with my energy. Like, mm-hmm, I'm big on that. Like, I have to reserve my energy for my kids, like between, mm-hmm, that and work. Like, and so even in my 20s, and then I find in my early 20s, I put up with a lot more shit. Mm-hmm. I was like, I would try and make it work with friends. I would like bend over backwards, very much like people pleasing, and would, mm-hmm, like go out of my way to try and do stuff. And then as we had more kids, got a little bit older, I was like, I unfortunately do not have the time. Like, literally my calendar is basically booked. Like, from the time I wake up to the time that I go to bed, like,
yeah,
my calendar is full. Like, there is shit that I have to do, like things that have to get done. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just being on, and even just, I just don't have time for a ton of friends, mm-hmm, on very, very different levels. Like, they have different priorities, which is totally okay.
Right.
And my priority has to be like, if something does not align with my values, if it does not align with, hey, this is what is best for my kids and for my family, mm-hmm, bye. Like, I can't.
No, I've noticed a big change with my sister. She just has the one child right now, but I've noticed a big change with her in that way too, of, sure, just having like a lot, I don't want to say the words tolerance because that sounds kind of negative, but just like a lot less mental energy for certain things. And sometimes I get frustrated, and I'm sure you experience this from some of your friends, where I would kind of like come with some frivolous thing like, oh, I'm annoyed at this man or whatever it was. And then she'd be like trying to listen, but she's like half listening, or she's like, I want to care about this, but I kind of can't because I'm dying and I have like a little baby crying and whatever. So I feel for both sides. I'm not a mother, so I can't fully speak, but like, I see how it's not at all malicious from a mother's point of view. Like, you're not trying to hurt anyone's feelings or anything. But then I can also see why some other friends might feel like, okay, we just can't relate right now. Cause my, like, yeah, it's so hard. Like, I've noticed that with my sister, we've had little moments of disconnect where we're just not in the same place. And yeah, unfortunately, like, I can completely recognize on a rational level that her problems are way more intense than mine, but there's still that little part of me that's like, but my problems still matter too. And so it's just giving each other grace, I think, and just being able to work your way through like those awkward years where maybe you're in different places and your lives are taking. And then I think those true, true friends or family, like, you'll always find your way back to each other. You'll always reconnect when things like chill out. Exactly. So yeah, life ebbs and flows, but it is sad sometimes when people get lost along the way, but I think that's just part of life. And
for sure,
I don't think there should, like, hopefully there wouldn't be any bad blood.
And I mean, like, there's friends that I'm like, I absolutely love you, like from afar, but like, I'm just doing my own thing and you're doing your own thing and that's okay. But it's like, I'm still here and I still love you. It's just like, I'm juggling an entire household and trying, I'm
girl,
keeping three humans alive
because you're killing it.
They literally can't function without me. So I'm like,
it's so crazy. I watch you from afar. I mean, I've known Ashley. So I don't know if I explained this, but Ashley and I went to high school together. So that's how we like know each other. But then we just sort of like went separate ways and whatever. And she obviously became a mom. I went off and traveled. We had like very different life trajectories, but we follow each other on Instagram and stuff. And so she was kind of checking out the podcast and I've been checking out some of the things, which we'll get into, some of the projects she's been working on. But I'm just so you know, like, I'm your number one cheerleader. Like, I'm behind the screen, literally like, what a Wonder Woman. Like, how is she? Like, I struggle to function day to day with a golden retriever. Like, I'm like, I can't do this. Like, I'm a single mother. It's so hard. Like, and you literally have three human beings. And I just, you're still like, you're my age. So it's just crazy for me to wrap my head around that. But I guess it's all just like, you just kind of take life as it comes. You just sort of adapt. And I feel like you just had to adapt to different priorities at a younger age than I would have had to. And hopefully when the time comes for me, I'll be able to just adapt as well.
Yeah. But things like, honestly, the motherly instincts, like, it just kicks in and it flows naturally. I will be totally honest. It gets easier with more kids too. Like, the transition to one was really hard. And like, after that, it's like, it's whatever. Like, you know what to do, you know what a baby's going to do.
Yeah.
It gets easier and you just manage it all.
My mom said that. My mom had four within 6 years. And she said, like, by the time she got to three and four, like, she wasn't even phased. Like, she was just like,
going from one to two is way harder than going from two to three. Mm-hmm. I mean, the third was like, whatever, there's like another potato on the couch. Like,
you're exactly fine. That's funny.
Like, it's whatever, it's a breeze.
So are you guys done now, or would you ever have? You're done. Like, I think three is a good number. Three is a good number.
And there is no potential.
Yeah.
If any of my family listens to this, all of my family is like, is there going to be one more? My mom's always like, what about like one more? And I'm like, nope, there is.
Maybe they want a little boy or something.
Not really possible anymore, because our luck, I'm like, we will try for a fourth and we would have a fourth daughter. So I'm like, we're good.
Or you'd have like twin daughters or something crazy.
We would try for a fourth and get twins or like triplets or something crazy.
Oh my gosh, that's nuts.
No.
Wow, that's wild. Well, I mean, like, good for you, girl. Like, you got three adorable daughters out of the way by 27. Like, good for you. Now the rest of your life is just like cruising. Now you can focus. And the older they get, you'll be able to focus on other things. And slowly, like, your 20s, you weren't able to like build up as probably as, I mean, I'm speaking for you, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but like, you weren't able to build up probably as much of a career as you'd hoped to, or maybe not able to travel as much as you wanted to because you had three young children. So now when they become more independent, like, you'll be able to do that stuff in like your 30s and 40s, which is like the prime of life.
That's like the era that we are getting into right now. So
yeah.
So like, I took more of a step back career wise. Like, I worked a Good Life for off and on for like 4 or 5 years. Like, I was in the gym setting forever, but it was more so just like part-time. Like, I was working here and there while my husband kind of got his career established, just because he had more of like a obviously better paying career. Like, that's priority, right? And so, yeah, that was like, we made sure that he was settled, where I kind of took more so care of the kids, which was perfect, worked out super well. And now we're kind of, like, how a lot of people in their early 20s like traveled and stuff like that, we kind of did the opposite. We got everything else out of the way, and now we're getting into like, our both careers are established. We literally have so many trips booked this year now that our kids are like older, that we can leave them and stuff like that. So
That's so exciting.
So fun.
Damn, maybe I should have done that.
So it's like, now they're all taken care of, and we're like getting into late 20s and have and disposable income to travel.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is you guys actually have a bit of income, and like, I don't know, like, you just have a strong relationship, you have income, like, you'll be able to really enjoy your 30s and 40s instead of grinding so hard and like being stuck at home for like, I don't know, it's so interesting. There's no right or wrong way to do it, but it just shows that there's pros and cons, because I'm sure so many people maybe thought you were crazy for having a baby at 20. Like, what are you doing, Ashley? But it just shows, like, there is really, truly, there's no right or wrong way to do it. And there's pros and cons to everything. I think you just have to make the most of whatever timeline you're given. And
I remember, like, all of our parents were like, well, funny enough, Nathan's mom was like, I always knew that he was going to have kids at a young age. And I'm like, dude, like, you could have given me a heads up, but thank you. Like, so yeah, honestly, it worked out so well. And we had such supportive parents that they were like, is this ideal? No, but like, we're here for you and we're going to figure it out. So I am so blessed. Like, his parents are separated and both remarried. So I have 4 in-laws and I'm freaking obsessed with all of them. Like, I have 4 absolutely amazing in-laws, and like, my mom, like, my dad was so supportive. So like, we had so many grandparents that were just like rooting for us and like helped us with whatever we needed. We're like always down to help with the kids. So we were just so, so fortunate to have like so many really, really good support systems to like help us kind of get going.
And that makes all the difference, I think, like, because, you know, there is, I think, truth to the saying, it takes a village to raise a child. And like, I, especially someone who is a younger parent or unexpected pregnancy or whatever the situation might be, I think it makes all the difference if you have people in your corner who are like, come hell or high water, we are here for you. Like, if you need a babysitter, if you need a shoulder to cry on, like, and so my family's tried really hard to provide that for my sister too, because she's the first person in our like generation, because there's obviously like different generations of cousins and nieces and nephews, but like, she's the first person out of all of our cousins that are kind of all in our 20s now to have a baby. So we're all kind of like learning. And that's probably what you experience. Like, she's kind of like the guinea pig. Like, we all are kind of watching what she does. Like, and we're like kind of learning. And she's like, this is so unfair. Like, I almost wish someone else could have got pregnant first and then I could. But she's just the oldest child, so she's always kind of had to deal with things first. But now you'll be able to give all of these friends who are now starting to get pregnant stuff, you'll be able to give them advice, give them toys and hand-me-downs and like all that stuff.
And like, honestly, my best friend here, like, we work together. We've literally worked together since we worked at Good Life. Like, we joke that we co-parent together because my husband actually travels a lot for work. So he's not really home a ton anyway. Like, he'll be gone for like a couple months here and there. Like, right now he has been working about 2 hours away for the past year. So he's gone 6 days a week.
Oh, wow.
So we literally joke that my best friend and I co-parent because it's like, I need somebody. I'm like, hey, like, I have an appointment. Like, I need somebody to get the kids from school. Like, can you get the kids? Like, hey, I'm doing this. Like, can you watch this kid? Like, I have to take this kid here. So like, I need you to take this one. So like, literally, if anything comes up, like, she is like right there to help.
That's amazing.
She doesn't have kids of her own. So it's like,
right,
literally her and her boyfriend are like, I don't know what I would do without them.
That's amazing. So you, wow, you, not only are you like killing it, but you're basically killing it on your own 6 days a week too. But we still need to put respect on, is your husband's name's Nathan, right?
Yes.
We still need to put respect on Nathan's name because it is no small feat to financially provide. Like, I know a lot of people now, like, I mean, of course, everyone, like, we need to have a present father. That's a huge thing. And I'm not saying he's not present. I'm sure he's very present. But I think we kind of, there's like this shift in society now of like, a man needs to sort of do it all. Like, he needs to provide 100% for the family, but he also needs to be home 24/7 and like be a really present father. And I imagine that's like kind of hard for men to navigate a little bit, because it's a little more socially accepted for women to like take a back seat with their career and like be at home with the kids, where men are still expected to like keep things afloat.
Yeah.
So I think we do need to put respect on men's names when they're keeping, not, I know you're making money too, I'm just saying, like, when they're keeping the shit together, keeping the money coming in, taking care of the family.
I will say, he does it all. Like, when he's home, like, he is present. Like, honestly, right now he's downstairs. Like, when he's home, I do not cook. He does the dishes. Like, I don't touch anything. I'm like, he's home.
We love that.
I do me. He runs the school. Like, he does bedtime. Like, he.
Wow. That's awesome.
And he's so good with the kids. Like, but then he's also like, he will go to work. Like, he will do his thing. He knows that it's good to hold down the house when he's not here, but he genuinely does love being a dad. And like, second that he can be with the kids, he's like, nope, I'm good. Like, you can go do your thing. Like, go take time for you. Like, we're good. Wow. We're good.
We love that. I'm so happy for you. 'Cause like,
I'm so lucky.
It could have been, like, not to be dark, but it, like, could have been such a different scenario if it was, like, a different man or, like, you know what I mean? Like, it could have... Like,
you've seen people that I've dated in the past. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it could have just... It worked out actually so beautifully for you and your family. And I'm... That makes me so happy because it could have been... It could have been a toxic asshole who, like, you know, ruined your life. And it wasn't. And that's, like, refreshing for people to hear. And that's kind of why I wanted to bring you on is, like... I wanted to talk to you about this actually and get your perspective on it because I've been struggling. Like, I'm thinking about kids and stuff. I mean, I'm 27, so of course it's like on my mind, but I see so much on TikTok and Instagram with like women talking about how like hard and torturous motherhood is. I don't know if you see these videos, like it's just like a lot, and they're doing it with really good intentions of like keeping it real and showing like the difficulties of motherhood. But when you see a lot of it, like I seem to, I don't know whether it's just my algorithm or what, but I it gets like really inundating and like very negative. And I'm kind of like, is motherhood awful? Like, what am I signing up for? Like, what is going on? Cause it seems like
not.
Well, no, I mean, my mom, I'll talk to my mom about it. And she's like, Sarah, like motherhood's the best. And I'm like, but these women on Instagram and TikTok, I get it. Like they're just venting and they want to find community and like find people to commiserate with them, which I understand. Like that's kind of what the internet's for is to like, but I've heard, talked to a few people about it who like are thinking about having kids, but maybe they're nervous about it or they're not sure. And then you see a few videos like that and it really fucks with your head. Cause you're like, have women just been lying to us for centuries saying that motherhood is like, no, Ashley's saying no.
No, no. Okay. So my algorithm does not show me things like
okay,
that.
Okay. That's like, weird.
It's like I've never seen anything like that. I think it's
really
like, I was actually talking to my best friend about this the other day. Cause it's like, it's just her and her boyfriend and stuff. And they're kind of getting to that point that they're like, they're starting to talk about kids. They're starting to talk about marriage, like stuff like that. And she's like, you like think of like holidays and stuff, like honestly Christmas and stuff, like going Christmas shopping, like staying up with my husband, like having a couple of drinks together, like wrapping presents, seeing them like come running into our room being like Santa came, like it's time to go to presents, like literally stuff like that just melts my freaking soul. And like when they'll like wake up in the middle of the night and they want to like come and crawl in bed with us and like they just like snuggle up with you and like they like the love that your kids have for you, like nothing can compare to that. Even like when they're sick and like they're just sick and they want nothing but to like lie on you and for like you to hold them, there's literally nothing better than that feeling of them just like feeling so safe and that they know that they can always like turn to you. Like I think that is like, that just sets my soul on fire. Like, I think it's just the best feeling ever to have someone that just like, no matter what, your love for them is just like unconditional.
And it probably just gives you this major purpose and like this sense of motivation every day to like be the best version of yourself. Like maybe it's just me, but I have talked to a few of my other single friends and they also get the same algorithm as me. So I don't know what's going on. Like, and I wonder, like, write in, guys, if you also have seen videos like this, let me know.
Don't get me wrong. Like, breastfeeding is hard, but it's also like.
But they're talking about like motherhood. Like, they're holding their newborn baby and saying, like, don't do it. It was a mistake. Don't do it.
No, I was lucky. And like, I do pre and postnatal training for a reason. I freaking loved childbirth. Like, I loved labor and delivery.
Yeah.
Like, it was so enjoyable for me. Like,
yeah.
It was fine. Like the newborn transition, like a little newborn baby is just so sweet and snuggly.
Well, you seem, I mean, I hope to be like you. Like my mom was the same way. She's going to listen to this episode and be like, yes, Ashley. Cause she literally was like, I love being pregnant. I love giving birth. I love, like she would have had 12 kids if she could. Like she loves being a mom still to this day. Like she has 4 grown kids, but she just like loves being a mom. But then it's like the same things you're saying of like, you know, a child crawling into your bed in the middle of the night or a child coming to you. And I think that's what some other women struggle with is like never having an off switch and like never, like all of a sudden overnight, it's no longer about you. Like it doesn't matter if you need free time. It doesn't matter if you're feeling off. Like it doesn't matter. You got to still be there. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. Like I think some people would probably love that distraction and just being able to fully dive into something else. And then I think some other people would really struggle. Maybe it just depends on your own childhood and like your own trauma. But I'm sure, it's just interesting how two women can have such a different reaction to one particular thing. And I think a huge part of it too is probably a support at home and how your partner's helping you. I mean, if you're never getting a break from your husband ever, I can imagine you'd have like a way shorter fuse with that type of stuff.
Like, don't get me wrong. Like, there is times that I'm like, yo, I'm tapped out. And so I'll be totally honest, this isn't something that I usually talk about like super, super publicly, but our middle daughter does have ADHD as well. Okay. So she's on medication for it. So she's very, very busy. Like, she's got some big emotions sometimes. Like, she can be a lot to handle. So there's days that I'm like, I'm so overstimulated. Like, I can't even process, but I have to like work on my own emotional regulation. Like you said, like the ways that we were raised can kind of start playing in. So I just have to like, I got to check myself and just acknowledge, like tune in with myself and be like, okay, I am not doing good right now. Like, I am not showing up as my best self. Like, I need to step back, whether that's like checking in with my husband and being like, hey, like I am freaking struggling right now, or like calling a friend and being like, hey, like I need help. Like, I need to get out of my house for an hour, or like, can we go do something with the kids? Because like, I need backup. Like, I need somebody else. So I find as moms, like, there is always this like the stigma, or like moms think they have to freaking do everything themselves.
Right. I was going to ask you, do you feel any shame asking for help, or have you kind of grown out of that? Because I know a lot of moms struggle to ask for help and to admit that they're struggling.
I 100% used to really struggle with it. Yeah. Now I'm totally transparent about it, or at least like I want to be transparent about it. Like, it's not easy. Like, even like, I will go to the gym because our gym has a child minding room. And like, even if I don't want to go and work out, like I will go and drop my kids off there for like an hour, just so that I can like check myself and like give myself a breather. Because if I'm not taking a hot minute to myself, like I'm just a raging bitch. And like, I'm just mad at everybody. And like, that is not helping anyone. Yeah. Think of it that way. Like, take some time for yourself so that you can be there for everybody else.
Yeah. You're not going to be able to be the best mom possible if you're on survival mode 24/7. Like, you have to look out for it's like putting your life, air mask, whatever. Before someone else's. That's all. I love your positive mindset. It's making me feel, I don't know. I always kind of was like, whatever, like, even if it's hard, it's an adventure, or it's a growth experience. Like, I kind of was always like, hopefully I enjoy motherhood, but even if I struggle, like, at least it's a challenge. It's a new experience. I'll grow. I'll learn. Like, I've just tried to, because you never know what you're going to get in terms of hormones, in terms of like what your children's are going to be like, how your husband's going to react. Like, it's kind of a mixed bag. Like, you literally could be the luckiest person on earth, or you could like run into every issue in the book. Like, that's what's a bit scary with becoming a mother and just childbirth and stuff, is it's so random, and it's so, there's no clear answers or no guidebook of exactly how to navigate it. So I think at a certain point, not that I know by experience, but my mindset when that time comes is to just like surrender to it and just like trust that everything will be okay. And
all you can do is like trust yourself. Like, physically trust your body, that your body's going to know what to do. Mm-hmm. Women have been doing this for,
I know,
hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. Like, it's just gonna, it does come naturally. Obviously, sometimes it's going to be harder than others, but literally my best advice is just getting in check with yourself first, and like making sure you are taking care of your mind, your body, your spirit, like whatever you need to do, like make sure that you are taking care of you. And that's like literally top priority, because if you're taking care of yourself, everything else just falls into place so, so, so naturally.
And I think, of course, that's great advice for any time of life or any, but especially with motherhood. But I mean, even I can relate to that advice too, when it comes to dating or career or just anything. Like, you really do have to get your own mind right. And you don't have to be perfect. Like, no one's ever going to be in a perfect, perfect place, but you need to just be at least in like a somewhat positive mindset and be actively working on yourself. I think that's one thing with motherhood, or just with anything, with relationships, with marriage. Like, people are like, I don't want to go into that chapter until I'm 100% ready, or I've 100% healed all of my trauma, or I have this much money, I have this much whatever. And then I don't know if that's realistic. Like, I don't think life really works that way. You're never going to hit an exact check mark of when it's the right time.
I agree. Like, I totally thought, I'm like, I wanted to like get married and like be married for a few years, like before we had kids and stuff. And like, looking back on it now, I would not have changed a single thing. Like, everything totally works out the way that it is supposed to happen. Like, as corny as that sounds, like, oh, everything happens for a reason. Like, I truly think it does. Like, I honestly learned so much from the way that things played out. And yeah, I wouldn't change anything about it.
Like, so what would be your most positive part about having kids in your 20s, getting married in your 20s, versus the part that you struggled the most with?
I would honestly say, like, watching me and Nathan being able to, like, grow up together and, like, get it together, like, because we were what, like, we've been together like almost 10 years now. We were like 18, like just about to turn 19 when we like first met and started like hanging out and whatever. And so like, we've had like a decade of like seeing each other transition from like me getting out of college to like him starting his first career. So like, that was honestly the best, was just like getting to figure it all out together. It was so fun.
We're still
figuring it out as we go. We're still not like, we are not doing everything perfectly by any means, but like,
but it seems like you guys were able to grow kind of in the same direction and grow together versus grow apart. And I think that's something people worry about with young relationships.
Yeah, you can definitely grow into different people, and like, that's okay. Like, that might happen. It is what it is. Like, nobody's perfect. People change, and that's okay. But like, on the other hand, yeah, you might grow together and just grow even better together and grow even stronger as a couple together, which it's kind of cool. It could go either way.
And so what was the hardest part about being a young mom, or like, or maybe was there ever a point, like, this is kind of a tough question, but was there ever a point in your 20s when you were like, I wish I could just take a month or two and like go be a normal 22-year-old, or like, was that never, did that not even cross your mind?
No, it definitely, it crossed my mind. And honestly, I will say, like, love my husband, but with his line of work, like with him traveling so much, that's hard. That is hard. Like, there is times that I'm like, why the fuck can't you just have like a normal person job? Like, why do you have this? Like, why can't you work a 9-to-5? Like, that would be lovely. So I think that was so hard, like going for extended periods of time. Like, this has been the longest that we've been apart, but there's been times that he's been in like Alberta for 2 months. And it's like, I literally did not see him for 2 months. And like, when we first moved to Sarnia, our youngest was 6 months old, or actually, no, she was 2 weeks old, sorry. And he came to Sarnia for a job interview and got hired. So he was living in Sarnia. We were still living in Gananoque at my parents' house. And he would commute back and forth every single weekend for about 6 months before our daughter and I moved up here. So that was so hard. Like, cool. So we have this baby. And from the get-go, it was like he was traveling for work, and I kind of had to navigate that too. So is it perfect? No, but honestly, communication was key to like, to get through all of it.
And he seemed like he was willing to compromise in whatever way he could, you know, while not giving up his career. But like, that's a far drive. How far is that? Like 6 hours?
Yeah, it's about 6 hours to get an Aqua from, and that's like 6 hours like speeding with no traffic. Yeah.
So I don't think I've ever been to Sarnia.
There's literally no reason to come to Sarnia.
I was just like, because I was just assumed you were still in Kingston. I don't know why, or in the Kingston area, the general area, maybe Ottawa, but I had no idea you were in Sarnia. So, because I said, just come on over, girl, to record. And she's like, girly, I'm in Sarnia. I'm like, what? Like, why?
But yeah.
But you've like made a community for yourself there and everything. You've kind of found your footing there.
Honestly, yeah. It literally feels like home. We bought our house in I don't even remember 2018 or something like that, and we literally have the most incredible neighbors. We have made such good friends here. My husband's family all lives in this kind of area, like his mom or his dad lives in Grand Bend, so they're like 1-2 hours away. So like, we have family close, and then honestly, we've made such good friends here that it truly, like, it feels like home. And it's really, I find Sarnia is actually really similar to Kingston and Gan area. So it's still a border city. So like, I'm still close to the water. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm still kind of close to the States, like mm-hmm. Sarnia, cute little downtown. It's really, really similar to Kingston's downtown, like restaurants, like shopping, stuff like that. It's just, yeah, there's really no reason to ever come to Sarnia unless people come here to work and that's about it.
What's like the main industry up
there? So there's a lot of like oil refineries and stuff like that. Yeah. A lot of like power plants, stuff like that. So anyone that...
That's like, what I thought. Like industrial factory type stuff. Yeah.
They call it Chemical Valley. No, it's because it's so toxic. They call it the Chemical Valley because it's just all chemicals. Like we literally we don't have like weather here. Like you guys will have like so much snow and it's like plus 10 and like green grass here because the chemical pollution is just so fucking bad that we just like we're literally in a bubble.
Do you not worry about that with the kids though? That would stress me out.
We do 100%. We do. This is not a permanent place. It's like, this is where people in these industries come to Sarnia to work their butts off when they're young and then they get the fuck out of here.
Make a lot of money. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, good for you. I think my husband would have to give me an allowance of $2 million a year for me to move to Sarnia. Like I'm such a brat, but
it's not a cute city.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing. As long as the kids are happy and as long as you're still getting out of the house, you're doing your fitness thing. So whatever.
Honestly, like the people here are great though. Like we love where we are. We have the best neighbors. So we're making it work.
And you can make any place. I do believe, like, I moved around a ton in my 20s. And, like, I believe you can make anywhere a home. Obviously, some places are a little more exciting than others just by nature. But you seem like you got enough to distract you and keep you busy, regardless of where you live. Even if you did live in New York City, you'd probably still be too busy to even go out and do stuff anyway.
And honestly, so... I literally lived in Gann like my entire life. My mom still lives in the same house that her and my dad bought like 15 years ago. So I'm like, I literally never moved. I went away to college for a year and then moved to Sarnia. So it was like just a completely different experience for me than ever having to move before. And I'm like, I don't like moving. I'm like, I'm good. Well, we put down roots here and it's so nice. But yeah, it's so busy. And there's enough to do here than really stuff like here. Like we're close to London. We are so close to the States. Like it's how much we go to the States because it's literally like 10 seconds away.
That's awesome. So these trips you have planned, are they with the kids or just hubby and you?
So no, mostly not with the kids. We have like a couple like smaller camping trips planned with the kids this summer, but I'm going to Kelowna for a work trip. I've never been to BC before. So we're super We're actually supposed to go to Kelowna in the fall, but they had like all of those really bad forest fires and stuff. So the conference that we were going to got canceled. So we are now going in May. All of the other coaches that I work with, we're going for a personal training event out there. So that's super, super fun. And then one of the other coaches that I work with is actually getting married in Mexico in November. And I are going to that together. And I have no idea what we're doing with our kids. If any of my in-laws listen to this podcast and want to volunteer to help kids,
I have not been to Mexico, but I have been to Kelowna. Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah. I lived out in BC for a while, but I lived in Victoria for like 8 months, but me and my ex drove out and we stopped in Kelowna for like 2 days or something. And we did like this amazing biking trail, which you should definitely do. It's like along an old abandoned railroad. So you like bike along this railroad and like, and you see all these mountains. So that would be my recommendation, but it's cute. It's a cute little city. It's pretty small from what I remember. Like it's not massive, but it's right on the water. It's beautiful. Yeah, so you'll enjoy that. Beautiful. Yeah.
So I'm super excited.
Ooh, it's so good. I don't have any trips planned yet, but I need to do something because it's like so hard to get through the year when you have nothing to look forward to.
That was literally how I was feeling like last year. So my husband and I went to Vegas last year. He had the trip planned that he was going with like a couple of friends and stuff for a car show and stuff. And I was literally, I had the biggest FOMO that I'm like, hey, I'm literally going to come to Vegas for 2 days because I have FOMO. And he's like, okay, whatever. So we did that. And now after that, I'm like, I just need something to look forward to, especially with him being gone. I'm like, I need to do the things now that the kids are old enough. I need to get out of my house and like.
Are they cool when you leave or do they get very distressed when mama goes away?
So when we went to Vegas, that was the longest that we have left them and they were okay. they were like, honestly, bless my friend Sam's heart because she watched the kids for 3 days so that we could dip out. And they tested her patience.
Oh, boy.
Bless her heart for holding down the fort. But so I found like the first couple of days they were good. But by the end, they were like.
Yeah. No, fair enough. They're still young, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. They're still very much like dependent on me. So I think they'll be okay when I go to Kelowna in May because like their dad's obviously he's going to be taking the week off work so that he's going to stay with them. So like, I think it helps. We try to keep them like in our own house as much mm-hmm. as possible when we're traveling instead of like going, like they'll go to my in-laws sometimes and stuff like that just for like a night here and there. But I find it helps to like try and keep their routines as much as
exactly. possible. No, I can see that. So before we wrap, I want to hear a little bit about your like fitness journey, what you're doing right now. I know you specialize in like postpartum and like pelvic health and all of that. So tell me a little bit about that, like what services you offer, what you're passionate about, kind of how your day looks. And then, because if anyone's interested, they can check out Ashley. 100%. I will link your Instagram, or if you have anything else you want me to link, like if you have a website or anything, I'll link it in the description notes. But she does lots of reels and like cute little videos, like informational, motivational. So you guys should definitely check her out. But tell me a little bit about what your focus is, why you're passionate about it, and like what your goals are moving forward.
Yeah. So like I've always, since we moved to Sarnia, I've always kind of worked out like little bits here and there in the past and stuff. But like when I first came to Sarnia, that's like when I actually started like going to the gym and stuff and was just like doing my own thing just because like literally I had nothing else to do. So I would just go to the gym and I would hang out. And then I got a personal trainer at Good Life just because I had nothing else to do and was hanging out. And then, yeah, I just like fell in love with it and I started working there. I just loved the fitness industry, but I found nobody here knew anything about postpartum training. So I just found that there was like not enough representation at the time when I was struggling. Like I'm a new mom. I like to work out and now I have no idea how to work out and I don't know where to turn. I have nobody to turn to. So I was like, well, I'm just going to figure it out on my own and become that person because it was just not, the information just wasn't there and I couldn't find much about it. And I saw so many other people like at my gym that were just like diving back into whatever they were doing before and just wrecking themselves and not seeing the progress that they wanted and just hurting themselves in the long run because like they just didn't know how to get back into fitness after having kids.
Okay, I'm going to sound like a dummy, but like what is like the progression? Like what is like the first step to going back into fit? Like you have to work on your reestablishing your core strength or something first, right?
Definitely.
Like what's the most common mistake people do that you're like, don't do that?
Honestly, I've seen so many people that just like, they're like, oh, well, I'll get back into like walking or just like start running and stuff again. And it's like, no, you can't just go back to like, you can go back to exactly what you were doing before, but like, it's probably not going to be smart. Your body spent like 9 months growing a human. All of your tendons and ligaments and muscles are now separated and not where they're supposed to be. You just grew a whole other organ. And now that organ is leaving your body and all of that space has to come back together. So like when you're pregnant, all of your organs get displaced throughout your abdomen. Like your everything is shoved in different directions. And so all of that's kind of like figuring out where to settle and stuff. So things feel weird. Like it feels weak. It just doesn't feel right. Things feel difficult. So it definitely starting with like breath work, making sure that you can engage your core, focusing on rebuilding your pelvic strength, because even if you have like a C-section birth, it still affects your pelvic floor muscles. So definitely like starting off easy and easing back into it is going to be crucial so that you aren't just delaying your healing process. Because I find so many people are just so quick. Like I think so many people believe that like 6 month or 6 week myth. They're like, oh, like 6 weeks, you're all healed. You can go back to normal. It's not actually the case for most people. And like the rehabilitation stage can take a lot longer than that. And I don't think enough people realize that at all.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I feel like people see, you know, a celebrity who like snap back in 10 weeks or something. And you're like, okay, if she can do it, I can do it. But I think it's honestly better safe than sorry when it comes to things like that. There really is no rush. And if anyone is rushing you to snap back, then they need to check themselves. Like, that's not okay to do that. So that's amazing that you saw a gap in the market essentially, and you were like, it's not at all the same. But that's kind of part of the reason I started this podcast, was like, I need, like, I want to hear, like, regular people in their 20s who are struggling, like, can't navigate, like, don't know what the heck they're doing. Like, I want to hear those stories so I feel less alone. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to air out my life so that other people feel less alone or feel like they have somewhere to go if they, like, whatever, just want to feel validated in whatever experience they're going to. And I think that's a good place to start. Like, if you're finding that you're seeking out a resource, you can just become that resource. Like, why not? Like, just be the person that you can't find, because odds are that there's going to be a bunch of other people who are also searching for that same thing. So have you found, so do you do like one-on-one training sessions, or how does it work?
So I did a little bit of in-person, but I strictly do online now. So nice. We have our own app on the app. We have a Facebook group too. So we do like, we are really big on focusing on like food mindset and stuff, and actually like long-term sustainable results. Like, we are not like I think I mentioned, I work with 6 other coaches. Mm-hmm. So we are not like a quick fix type of program. It's like, hey, like, we want to mess with people that actually want to see results and keep it long-term, establish it into their day-to-day life, and not just like, we're not here for quick fixes. Like, that's, if that's what somebody's looking for, like, you can probably go somewhere else, because that's not what we're here for. So yeah, we do all online programming. Like, we'll set up the workouts for everybody and make sure that they're like customized to the person. So like, I have some clients that, I think my oldest client is 69 right now. My youngest is like in their 20s.
Nice. So
a very, very good range of people, but it's mainly focusing on, like, for me personally, like pelvic health, stuff like that, because even people that have had children, like 20, 30 years ago, they'll have these underlying pelvic floor concerns that they didn't deal with because they were never told any better. Or they would go to their doctor and be like, hey, I'm leaking. And they're like, cool, you're getting older. That's going to happen.
Mm.
It doesn't have to be like that. So that's kind of mainly who I work with. So yeah, they're all on their app. They have like the workouts and stuff that they follow. They check in with me once a week. Like, they can message me literally anytime that they want to. And then, yeah, we also have our Facebook group. So all the ladies just like chat in there and hang out and like do whatever. And then all of us coaches take turns doing like live trainings in there. So we like, we'll do trainings on like mindset stuff, nutrition stuff. If we have a whole bunch of people randomly that are like, we have a bunch of clients say that they're struggling with like knee pain or whatever, we talk to them about like knee pain and like ways to improve that. And so, yeah, it's really cool having like such a big community. I find with doing it online, we can help a lot more people than in just like 1 hour sessions in person with people.
That's awesome. You seem, I was going to say, like, you seem so confident. I get so nervous over Zoom and stuff. I'm not, but I don't ever go on Zoom. Like, most of my jobs have always been in person, and now I do work from home, but I never have to Zoom anyone. Like, we don't really do. If we ever talk, it's just over the phone. So I get kind of weird, but you're like, you got it. Like, you seem so confident, but you probably do this like every day with your clients and stuff.
Yeah. I think face a lot. Like, my voice is probably drilled in their poor brains.
So is it true? This is my last very important question. I see all this stuff as well. About like, now there's the different stretches or different things you can do before you give birth to like help the process. And then I like see girls in the gym on these TikToks who are like 8 months pregnant, like they're doing all these like crazy leg poses, and they're like, this will help me give birth. Like, is that stuff true?
Yeah, there is a ton of stuff. Yeah. So my most pregnant client right now, I have a client that's 36 weeks pregnant right now. So she's literally like, she's due, I think a month from tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So like, and she's like still lifting heavy. She's still hitting PRs and stuff. But yeah, there's different steps that you can kind of go through for opening up your pelvis. So you want to get like the top open, the middle of the pelvis, all helping to get the baby's head to engage deeper into the pelvis. So yeah, there's different ways that you can like rotate your legs, rotate your hips.
Okay. So it is legit.
Yeah. 100%.
I was kind of like,
yes.
Wow. It's so like, the women's bodies are so magical. Like, I'm like, there's no way like doing a few little stretches are going to make a difference, but yeah, I guess it does.
Like, when I was having our third baby, she was kind of like stuck and wasn't really moving. And I'm like, hang on, let me like turn on my side. I need a yoga ball between my legs. Like, and I'm just like doing all this random shit. And sure enough, she just was like,
that's amazing.
That light change of position can really, really help.
And it's good that women, I think that's the difference probably between like a woman who's 60 versus a woman who's having a child now. Like, they didn't have all this access to all this information and research. But do you ever worry that like people are spreading misinformation or people are like fear mongering online? Like, is that something that you talk about in your sessions or something that you get concerned about?
Yeah, honestly, there's so much misinformation out there. So I think the biggest thing is just making sure that you're listening to like reputable sources. Take everything with a grain of salt. Like, even I'm sure there's some things that I say that might not work for everybody. Like, if I do say something like publicly, I do try and make sure it's going to be beneficial for the most amount of people.
Right.
But there's definitely going to be some situations that like, just because it works for one person doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to work for everybody. Just like people would be like, oh, like squats are such a great exercise. Like, okay, cool. But like, if you have knee pain, like squats probably aren't going to be the best for you. Mm-hmm. So I think just everything that you see online, like you have to take it with a grain of salt and like do your own research too. And like actually think about how it affects your own life. Cause yeah, there's so much bullshit out there.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, a lot of negativity too, I find. So when you can find like a, like if you're looking, cause that's one thing I like about your profile is it's like pretty positive. It's like, you know, this, like, there's a cute video of you like working out in the gym and your daughter's right beside you and she's like watching you do it. And like, I think it's inspiring to just be reminded that like life goes on. You can still thrive. You can still do your thing with or without a child. It doesn't completely deteriorate your entire life. Like, that's my biggest fear, is that it's just going to like, it's just going to completely uproot my life in like a negative way instead of a positive way. And I think a lot of that comes from this like fear mongering that I see on social media about like how life is never the same and you'll never get your body back and you'll never this and this and this. And so thank you and good for you for providing positive content and positive mindset.
And don't get me wrong, I try and be totally vulnerable too.
Yeah.
Wanted to seem like my life is all sunshine and rainbows, because it's not. Like, there's times that it's freaking hard, but I like to show people too, like, yes, it's hard, but you are going to get through it. And like, here is steps that can help you get through those really, really hard parts, because yeah, you can get through whatever it does throw your way. Like, it's not always going to be easy, but
yeah,
it'll be worth it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't know if there's anything else to talk about. So if people want to contact you, how should they do that?
Instagram or Facebook is probably their best. So we're called Fit Strategy.
Fit Strategy, okay.
A strategy to for fitness.
Actually, love it.
We have strategy. Any possible problem that people can have, I can pretty much guarantee one of our coaches will be able to figure out a strategy for it.
I love that. Okay. Yeah. So check that out, guys, if you're interested. Is it specific to like pre and postnatal, or is it just for anybody?
So between the six of us, we have one coach who does in person, and he specializes in like strength, powerlifting, and working with kids, actually. Sam, she does really, really incredible like weight loss transformations. She's had some clients lose like well over 100 pounds, stuff like that. She's really, really great with reverse dieting. So basically getting people to like eat more food while losing more weight. Like, we have another coach named Stephanie, who actually used to be a naturopath. And she's also, we have two kinesiologists on our team.
Cool.
So we have another coach named Rachel, who used to be a nurse. She specializes more with like working with nurses or people who do a lot of shift work, as well as also have like really, really big weight loss goals. And then, yeah, I do more like pre and postnatal stuff.
So it's like a good mixture of different, like,
our own specialties.
Yeah. Really. Different specialties and different disciplines. That's amazing. There's like something for everybody.
It's amazing. It's honestly so nice.
You seem like you love it. You seem like you love working there.
We literally have like the best group. Honestly, four of us used to work a Good Life together.
Oh, nice. And
we're all like working together now, and I can truly say I work with some brilliant people. Like, there is things that come out of their mouths, and I'm like, I just have so much respect for like the level of knowledge that is on our team. And it's so nice, because it's like, yes, I have multiple of my own training certifications, but if I've ever had a question with a client that I'm like, we will totally own if we don't have the answer to something, because like nobody has the answer to everything. And there's times that I'm like, I don't fucking know what to do here. I can pretty much guarantee that like one person on my team is going to have my back on this and have a way to help me through the issue that's in front of us, which
is amazing.
Incredible.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for talking to me and sharing all of this with the podcast. You guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode with Ashley. I just dropped one with my brother. Then I did another one with my friend, and then I'm doing this one with you. So I'm like getting more guests on in 2024. I want to bring in like more voices, more life experiences, people who are going through the same thing as me and we can talk shit about it, or people who are going through something completely different from me and we can still find common ground, because I feel like you can literally find common ground with anybody if you just look a little deeper. So like me and you were still able to relate on certain things, even though our lives are very different.
Perspectives too.
Yeah. So that's the goal. So thank you so much for sharing this platform with me so we could do this virtually. You guys make sure you check out Ashley. She's doing amazing things on her Instagram, and Ashley hopefully will share this with some of her followers too, so that they can check it out. Absolutely. They can check out the podcast, and yeah, we'll just like continue to support each other like bad bitches.
I love it. I love it. I love the support. I'm here for it. I appreciate it so much. And thank you for having me.
Of course. Yeah, we'll have to do it again sometime. Or if you're ever in Gananoque again, let me know and grab a drink or something.
Yes, I'm down. I'll let you know the next time that I'm coming down. Okay. I usually make an appearance every 3-4 months-ish.
Okay, perfect.
The town real quick.
Okay, well, say hi to the fam for me.
I do.
And yeah, hopefully this all recorded properly. I'm praying. I'm sure it was fine.
I'm going to end recording now.
Okay.